So let me show you in Isaiah 6, because remember, the creatures that we saw in Ezekiel 1 and 10, they were a little different because they had four wings as opposed to six wings, because the creatures in Revelation 4 actually had six wings. You remember that? But they're both full of eyes. Look at Isaiah 6, verse 2. Actually, let's just start in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Now notice, not the cherubims. Now we have the seraphims. Each one had six wings with twain. Twain means two. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So here we have the exact number of wings that we have in Revelation 4. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Does that remind you of Revelation 4? They're saying, holy, holy, holy. They're praising God continually. They have six wings. So they have the same function as the angels in Revelation 6, not angels per se, but I want to say the beasts or the living creatures. They have the same function, and they have the same number of wings, and so on and so forth. So you say, what is the difference between a seraph and a cherub? Because remember, Revelation 4 and Isaiah 6, we're dealing with the seraphims. And in Ezekiel 1 and 10, we're dealing with the cherubims. Well, if you look at the etymology of the word cherubim and the etymology of the word seraphims, basically the word cherubims is a derivative of the number 4. And the word seraphims is a derivative of the number 6. And so basically that is just a name that refers to how many wings these living creatures have. So back to Revelation 4, let's finish it up here. Now that we understand the four beasts, it says in verse 6 that they were full of eyes. We saw that consistent with the Old Testament. Verse 7, the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man. Remember, the calf was represented as an ox in the Old Testament, but an ox and a calf are the same animal, just different ages. And then it says, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. I mean, we're talking 24/7. He says, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And how often is that? All the time, right? When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks, I mean, and they're doing it all the time. To him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the throne. Now look, these 24 elders that are falling down, they're not doing this once, are they? They're doing it repeatedly. You got to look at the verb tenses here. He says, when the four beasts do this, the 24 elders, present tense, do this. It doesn't say did like they did it one time. It's saying this is what they do every time the four beasts give glory and honor and thanks. Then the 24 elders, not fell, the 24 elders fall, present tense, meaning that they do it when they do this, they do this. When the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So get the picture. These 24 elders are seated around the throne, white raiments, crowns on their head, and when they hear the beasts giving glory and honor and thanks, they get up and throw their crowns before him and give him all the praise and all the glory also. Then they pick up their crown, put it back on their head, and sit down. And basically, this drama is playing out over and over again. They're just constantly worshiping God, praising him, throwing their crowns at his feet, saying, you're worthy. And obviously, what is a crown? It represents authority. These guys had a crown representing authority that they had. These are elders. These are pastors. These are bishops. These are preachers. These are prophets that have been given authority on this earth, okay, to rule God's house. The Bible says, let the elders, listen now, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor in 1 Timothy 5. So the elder is what? A ruler. And then he says in Hebrews 13, to obey them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. They watch for your souls. And so these men have that authority, but they're taking their crown saying, man, you, all the authority is yours. Because a pastor doesn't really have his own authority that emanates from himself. He only has the authority that God has given unto him. We are shepherds as pastors, but Jesus is the chief shepherd. We derive all our power and authority from him. That's why that crown is cast at his feet, and he's the one that's worthy to rule and reign. And we only derive any authority that he is good enough and gracious enough to give us. And of course, in the millennium, we will have even more authority. And so will God's people that are not pastors will be given authority based on their works.